was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. And speaking of getting the most out of your life, I could not be more excited to visit with our guest today. Dr. Vonda Wright is an internationally recognized practicing double boarded orthopedic sports surgeon. She's an author, speaker, researcher, and innovator whose work stands at the intersection of longevity, women's health, mobility, and musculoskeletal aging. She's widely recognized as a thought leader. Dr. Wright is a frequent media and conference expert, having been quoted often in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the U.S. News and World Report, as well as many other media outlets. Her innovative science-based approach is changing the lives of millions of people at midlife. Dr. Wright practices in Lake Nona, Florida, and is the founder and CEO of Precision Longevity. Dr. Wright, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kyle.
We're so excited to visit with you and kind of tap into a little bit of your expertise and share some of the things that you found in your research, and also just hear kind of, you know, personal stories and things that you're working with. I do want to start off with this. You're an orthopedic surgeon.
Yes.
I'm curious what caused you to kind of focus in on the master seniors active aging aspect rather than focusing in on the young kids.
Oh my goodness, Kyle, that is the story of my entire career. So, you know, just for completeness, I take care of everyone from the minute of your birth to the moment of our deaths. And that's the beauty of being an orthopedic surgeon. However, I grew up on a farm in Kansas with a dad who is a lifelong endurance athlete. In fact, you know, we lived in the country. There was no GPS at this time. And he would be out running for so long, my mom and I would be like, where's your father? How long did he go today? And so I grew up with this notion that adults can keep moving long into the foreseeable future. And the way that translated into my orthopedic surgery career is with this in the back of my mind, with the first old person, I'm air quoting for those of you that can't see me, old person that I knew was running was this woman in Fredonia, Kansas named Millie Hartung. And we just thought that she was this weird anomaly. Oh my God, she was running races, only to find out now she was only 63. I know, but in the 70s.
That was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
She was an anomaly.
She was. So I've got that in my brain. I know people can do it. And then in 2004, when I got done with my, I was a chief resident, I started studying athletes 45 and 50 and above, you know, like master's age athletes. And it became my career because here's what I know about the population of this country. There's a myth that we have to go from the vitality of youth down a slippery slope to frailty and decrepit, and that there's nothing we can do about it. But I knew that wasn't true. Look at Millie, look at Gene Wright, my dad. And then I started studying master's athletes who have taken the variable of sedentary living out of the equation. And listen, I don't have to tell you, but just look around the games and you see vibrant examples of the way life can be. And I just wanted to prove with my research that they weren't all anomalies, but this was true physiology when you take sedentary living out of the equation.
I think that's such fantastic advice and also experience. And we do get to experience that here at the Huntsman World Senior Games. I mean, I just feel so blessed to be surrounded by people who are so inspiring in so many ways. But I think that we're making a difference together. I mean, I know your research and we're working on things. I think people are starting to get it. They're starting to realize that, hey, you can do it. It's never too late. You know, so many of our athletes, Dr. Wright, not all of them certainly, but so many of our athletes actually started their athletic career in their 50s or 60s or even 70s or later. And then they just go on to have this amazing, amazing experience, but an amazing career where they win races and they win gold medals and they set records. And, you know, they're kind of newbies in sports. And yet they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's so exciting to see that happen. Like I said, I think we're just starting to turn a corner. We've got a lot of work to do, but I think we're starting to turn a corner. Have you found that in your experience as you're talking to people, as you're doing your research?
Well, you know what? I have the same feeling, Kyle, because for a lot of years, for a lot of decades, I knew I wasn't alone on a mountaintop. You guys probably felt the same way, but I'm screaming that life can be different. And I didn't know that anybody was actually listening, but I feel it like you do, that we've got a critical mass of people showing the way. It's not just weird Millie Hartung, right? Who was really only 63. But here's the thing I want listeners, if they're new to this, to realize is that you and I are not talking right now about lifelong pro athletes. They're everyday people like you and me. I mean, I did my first Spartan obstacle course race last year. I was 56, and somebody made a comment. I was speaking at an event. They said, and at the grand old age of 56, she did her first Spartan race. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? Why wouldn't I do a Spartan race at whatever age? I'll probably be doing it when I'm Millie's age or beyond, you know?
No, I think that is so true. And like I said, we've got work to do. We still got work to do, but I think that we are making progress. I see so many people making that decision, taking that step. And I mean, let's be honest, it can be a little bit scary. You're 62, 63, you've never really competed in competitive sports, or you did, but it's been 30 years ago, 40 years ago, to take that first step forward into, you know, becoming an athlete. It can be a little bit scary and a little bit intimidating, but the people who are able to do it, it just opens up so many opportunities socially, emotionally, physically, obviously, but these other aspects as well. I did want to touch on this. I think a lot of our listeners will be interested to know that you are an athlete yourself. You mentioned a little bit about the obstacle course racing. I know that you've done some other things. What other sports do you do yourself?
You know, I grew up as a ballet dancer. And then as I decided not to do that anymore, I became a ballroom dancer. I followed after my dad's footsteps that I ran for a very long time, done marathons. But right now, because I'm a midlife woman, I have fully embraced the fact that by maintaining my lean muscle mass, I'm going to maintain my health for the rest of my life. So now I power lift. I use my heart rate to regulate my cardio, like I do, for instance. I am very interested in my VO2 max. So I do VO2 max workouts, which is, for those of you that don't do them, as hard as you can go for 3 or 4 minutes and then recover for 3 or 4 minutes. But VO2 max is the singular most important measure of longevity and prevention of frailty. So it's really critical. And so I work out that way.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, again, if your goal is long life, I think that, you know, our modern technology can allow for that, but we want to enjoy the quality of life, right? It's more than just living to be very old. It's like actually living and enjoying that life. Mm-hmm. You talk about three kind of, identified things that'll help you live long and prosper. You talk specifically about lifting heavy, plyo, and sprint a little. Talk a little bit about each one of those, if you would, and why they're important.
So I agree with you completely, Kyle. I mean, aging into a very high number, maybe triple digits, maybe really high, 97, I've chosen as some arbitrary number. That's one thing. But what we know is that our health span in this country for sedentary people, health span being those years we are healthy before chronic disease rears its ugly head, is only 64. So for me, the point of all this is actually not to live into the triple digits, although what wouldn't that be nice? The goal is to be healthy, vital, active, joyful until the minute I die, right? I just want to go to sleep and not wake up. So how do we do that? Well, in 2004, we began our studies looking at, number one, when do we slow down? And I'll tell you that. Number two, can we retain lean muscle mass with chronic exercise? The answer to that is yes. Can we maintain our bone density so that we don't fracture, fall and break our hip, and 50% of us die? The answer to that is yes. And can we maintain our brain function? The answer to that is yes. And what is the common denominator of every single person I have studied in the history of my career? It is that Number one, they were master's age athletes. Number two, they were active. They were not couch potatoes, right? But when do you think we slow down? I think the average citizen, you're disqualified. You know all these people, right? The average citizen starts complaining about being over the hill by the time they're 50.
Yeah.
Well, games athletes are just getting started then.
Just barely starting. We just call them baby seniors.
Yes. In fact, the golden seniors, or whatever we call the people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, are kind of ticked off that the 50-year-olds are let in because they're so young, right?
Right.
We do not. My research shows, when I looked at sports performance as a measure of biologic aging, shows that we do not significantly slow down until we're in our mid-70s. So we can stop copping to the excuse that Hallmark says we're old. No, we get to decide based on our activity level.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, we get to see that here at the games in so many ways and in so many different opportunities with the various sports that are offered. You talked about a few things that I think are really important, and I want to maybe dig a little bit deeper. Let's talk about lean muscle mass. Conventional wisdom kind of tells us that after the age of 50, you just start to lose lean muscle mass, and you just have to accept that. And that's just life. I've seen several articles, even just recently, about that. You're saying that's not exactly true. So how do we keep the lean muscle mass?
So listen, one of the hallmarks of aging is something called sarcopenia, or loss of lean muscle mass. But that is not the end of the story. That is a natural phenomenon of aging. Nowhere does it say that by investing every day in your strength training, in lifting weights to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, eating enough protein, 1 gram per ideal pound per day to feed that process, high quality protein that has enough leucine content, that you cannot maintain or build muscle. And there are many studies and many examples of people who do that. So is loss of muscle a hallmark of aging? Yes. Can we build muscle? Absolutely. I built 8 pounds of muscle last year, and I'm closer to 60 than I am to 50. And there, I could throw up pictures and examples. So yes, it is a hallmark of aging. No, it is not your destiny. You must lift heavy to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, and to stimulate muscle stem cell rejuvenation. You must also feed the process with enough protein, right? And be smart about it so we don't get injured.
Yeah, so I think that's the key. And it's easy to say, let's do these things. But then, I think the fear is that you might get injured, or you might hurt yourself, or you might end up, at the hospital or at the physical therapist at the least. So what advice do you have as people are kind of trying to take this advice and put it actually into practice?
Well, in a general sense, let's be smart. Let's harness the wisdom of our age. If you really have not stepped away from the couch since forever, or maybe we're still referring to our high school days as the glory days, that's fine. Be proud of that. But you may need some help. And now is the time to invest in either a trainer to teach you. Now, I'm not saying do that every day for the rest of your life. You can really learn the basics of lifting in 5, 6, 10 sessions. So invest in help. So that's number one. Number two is warm up before every workout. Sometimes people just get out of their cars and start whatever skill activity. That is a sure way to get hurt. Warm up, get some instruction. And number three is the problem of feeling so good that you do too much too soon, too often. You overuse yourself, you burn out, and you get overuse injuries. So we just have to be smart in those three areas.
I want to just shout out to the warming up process. I have noticed as I have aged just how important that is. Right now, my sport of choice is wrestling. Now, I know that there will come a time when I might have to change. I realize that. I just turned 50 this year, but I am preparing for a wrestling tournament at the U.S. Open in Las Vegas. And so I'm trying to, you know, get some mat time in, and I'm working with high school kids because those are the only ones who will wrestle me, you know, at this point. And I have noticed that warm up is so crucial to me. There was a time when I could have just walked into the wrestling room, walked to the center of the mat, and wrestled, and I would have been just fine. That is no longer the case, but that is okay. That doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means that I do need to be smart, use the wisdom of my age, as you say, and you know, I've got to get warmed up. But if I can get warmed up and get going, I can still wrestle. I can still feel good. And at the end of the practice, I'm tired, and the next day I'm pretty sore, if I'm honest with myself. But that warm up is so crucial.
It is. And it, you know, even for people who aren't competing like you are, or just fitting in their daily workouts, on the days when you don't work out, I still think the warm up is critical, because the natural history of our tendons, anything that contains collagen, is as we age, the bonds between the collagen fibers get stronger and stronger. We form more covalent bonds. And then we get stiffer. It's why people at 90 are hunched over taking little steps. So every day, if we can warm up and get the lubrication of mobility going, we will be ahead.
Yeah, motion is lotion. We hear that all the time. It's so true, and it's so important.
Yeah.
You've talked a little bit about bone health. I want to kind of dig into that just a little bit. As an orthopedic surgeon, I know that you see, you know, the ramifications both of taking care of our bones as well as maybe not doing that quite so well. Dig a little bit more into bone health. How important is it, and how do we make sure that we keep our bones strong?
Yeah, I don't. I think our. I was talking about this morning on my social media, that our bones are silent. We don't even really notice them, right? Once the last time we look to see, oh, what are my clavicles doing? My wrist doing? Oh, my hip, this, you know, we never do that. I'm going to say we never.
Unless there's a problem, then it becomes everything, right?
And then your bones are screaming. Bones are silent until you break one, and then they're screaming. And then an adult, it can take 3 months or more to heal. And who has time for that kind of layup? So how do we keep our bones healthy? Well, there is never an age where your bones will not respond to activity. I did a study on Masters age athletes that showed that in sports, that there involves pounding, basketball, pickle, anything jumping, running, the impact of sports preserves your bones better. So that's number one. But number two, what if you're not an impact athlete? Building lean muscle mass so that the muscles themselves pull on the bones will cause bones to be maintained. So either way, you bump your bones in sport, you jump up and down in one place 20 times a day, or you build lean muscle mass. The other ways we support our bones are, if anybody on God's green earth is still smoking, you're poisoning your bones, and I have no nice way of saying that, please stop. We also love vitamin D. Most of us who live north of the Mason-Dixon line, even those of us who live south of that middle of America, we just don't get enough vitamin D from the sun. We usually need to supplement. Magnesium, high protein diets. These are all bone healthy activities. And if you have been bumping your bones across your lifespan, I bet you're doing pretty well. And for the baby masters, your 50-year-old people, your 50-year-old women, here's what we do know, is that estrogen replacement significantly preserves bone.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Great advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been practicing for a while. You're not only performing surgeries, but you're also doing some incredible research. I'm wondering if you have a story of somebody. You talked about Millie already, but someone that you've worked with.
Yeah.
You know, obviously doctor client privilege, whatever, but we're not going to go outside of HIPAA regulations, but tell us a story of somebody that you've worked with that really like made a difference, made a turnaround, and has been able to carry it on and be successful in the things that they want to do.
So, you know, this person I'm going to tell you a story about is so inspirational to so many people, and she actually did this on her own. What I'm about to tell you. So my friend Susan, and she talks about this all over the place, so this is not HIPAA at all. My friend Susan, during COVID, when I was churning butter, I went back to my farm skills, churning butter and baking sourdough when I couldn't go to work as a surgeon because
many of us went that route, right?
I know. Listen, I'm back to my farm skills. Susan decided at 63, enough was enough. Susan, like so many people, had taken care of everybody in her life. She had a successful career. She just lived life, but did not pay attention for 1.5 seconds to what was becoming of her body. And so what became of her body was a woman who's my height. I'm only 5'4". She was carrying around 181 pounds and she was sluggish and she felt terrible. And she just decided that she was worth the daily investment in her health. So she did the things that I just said to you. She did not know how to lift weights, but she hired a trainer for 10 sessions and learned how to lift weights. She started walking every single day. She started counting how many grams of protein she had. And over the first year of this daily investment, not only did she lose 50 pounds, but she built muscle. So I just want to clarify, it's not about the pounds you lose.
Yeah, it's not the weight,
right?
It's the
muscle you regain, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm a short person, but I weigh a lot more than you would think I would because I'm full of muscle, right? So she gained all this muscle, lost in the process 50 pounds, and became a bodybuilder. I'm not kidding you. She shredded. But not only did she totally change her body and her health, but it changed her mindset. Because she was not sitting around waiting to die. She now had a new hope and lease on life through mobility and weightlifting. And that is what I see time and time again in people that compete in games like yours, is that the message is hopeful.
Absolutely. 100%. Now, I want to emphasize, you said Susan was how old when she started this journey?
63.
See, that's the message right there, isn't it? It is never too late. And I know that doesn't mean it's not difficult. That doesn't mean that it's not hard. That doesn't mean that it's not challenging. It is. It's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. All those things are true. All those things are true. But it is never, ever too late. It is never too late.
But you know what, Kyle? I love what you just said. It is hard. It is difficult. But here's the deal. If you've gotten to be 50, 60, 63, whatever, you've lived through hard before. Hard is not new to you. It is not a stranger. You have probably done more hard things in your life than you could ever fathom. What's one more? Hard is sitting around for 30 years between 63 and 93 and waiting for death to happen. That's
being sick.
Hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Such great advice. And so true. So true. You know, we talk about starting late and it's never too late. I've shared the story many times of my mom, but she was about 63 when she did her first 5K as well. And she was very intimidated by it. And I remember so clearly because she ran it here at the Huntsman World Senior Games. And she purely only did it because I'm her son. That's it. Like she, you know, that's the only reason. I had worked on her for several years. She'd given me all the excuses of I'm too old, I don't have time, all those things. And then finally she was just like, okay, you've worn me down. You know, I'm going to run a 5K, worst case scenario, I'll walk if I have to. And she did that first one and she transformed into an athlete. She became an athlete. Mm-hmm. And she's had, you know, challenges and difficulties and I won't get into all of them, you know, because there's not time. But the moral of the story is that she now considers herself a runner. She considers herself an athlete. She comes and competes at the games every single year and she wins medals. You know, it's not always gold every single time, but oftentimes it is. And 63 years old, never had an opportunity to compete before. Here mm-hmm. she is. You know, if she can do it, we can do it. Hard is not something that's new to us. We can all make it happen. Am I right?
Totally. I 100% agree.
Dr. Wright, thank you so much for your time. That's all the time that we have to spend with you today, but really appreciate your research, your experience. We wish you the very best in everything that you got going on, from your athleticism to your practice, to your business that you've got. We just thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Just a couple of quick reminders to wrap us up here as we end the show. We want to make sure everyone remembers and knows that individual athlete registration is open. In fact, we have well over 3,000 athletes registered already. We're right on track with where we want to be. We have both domestic as well as international athletes. So please don't miss out. Many of our individual sports do fill up very quickly. So make sure that you get yourself registered today for the 2024 Huntsman World Senior Games. Everything you need to know is available at seniorgames.net. The rules, the schedules, the times, everything you need to know on how to register, it's all at seniorgames.net. Our guest next week is Sandra Checkett. She started with the Huntsman World Senior Games as a vendor, but she got inspired and decided to run a 10K while she was here. And since then, she's been taking on as many middle and long distance running events as she can, and she's loving every minute. We look forward to visiting with her. Remember to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that podcasts are found. If you are listening by podcast, take a moment, give us a rating, or write a quick review. It really helps us spread the word. And then you can find this and previous shows right on our website. Once again, that is seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought comes from the Buddha, who once said, "If you want to fly, give up everything that weighs you down." Until next Thursday, stay active.